Okay, remember a few weeks ago we had the leadership team sat on some sofas at the front and we talked to you about kingdom cultures. Remember that far back? I know life moves fast. Actually, by the way, I was just thinking, I don't know whether you've enjoyed all the sort of Jubilee celebrations and, you know, it kind of focuses the mind. You've got people who are kind of royalists and people who aren't. And I decided this morning in our worship that God is the chief royal, isn't he? He's the king of all creation. And if the definition of a royalist is I am absolutely for him, I'm a royalist. And a royal, yeah. Oh, I didn't think of that. The royals, yeah. You could be, yeah. God's own team. Yeah, we better move on from there. Good, yeah. We talked about kingdom cultures and something of the impact that by studying together and experiencing God more deeply that he's having in our lives. And it's great. It's really good when God intervenes in our lives, isn't it? And some exciting things happening. Feels different this morning. Something feels different. Hopefully not that different, but I mean it makes a change. We've all woken up. Well, I didn't go to bed till about 2 o'clock, so I hope I'm awake. Well, yeah, kingdom cultures. What is the church? What on earth does the church exist for? We exist actually to demonstrate the love and the beauty and the glory of God in the world that we live in part. We're a worshipping community, a lot of things that define us. And I think one of the biggest tragedies that there has been since the death and resurrection of Jesus is that he's been greatly misrepresented, don't you? When people think of church, what do they think of? Just shout out a few things.
Dull.
Boring. Buildings. Thou shalt. Rules and regulations.
Condemnation.
Bigots. Old fashioned.
Conformity.
It's all in here, isn't it? We feel quite strongly about this, I'd say.
Irrelevant.
We've been on now for course. Irrelevant, boring, untrue. Yeah, all of that. Yes. So, God's got a bit of a job on his hands, hasn't he?
Yeah.
To actually represent himself more accurately, more realistically, more lively, more relevantly through the church. And one thing I love about being in a church like this is that faith and reality coexist. That is, we're not kind of super spiritualizing everything and denying the reality, but we want to persevere into everything that God has for us. And in that sense, there needs to be community that can help facilitate that. I'd like to just show you at this point a little film that I put together. It took quite a long time, longer than I thought it might take. Some of you would have seen Dream of the Church, but if you just read the words, hopefully it'll come out well here. It's a bit of music, which happens to be quite nice as well, I think. I know music's a very subjective thing, but see what you think as well. Can we go for this then? Sure. If it works. Please let it work. Took me about 8 hours to put together on Friday night. It's got to work. We'll wait patiently. Oh. message. Nice introduction. Can you play the film outside of presenter on that one? Not my film. That's God's.
You make beautiful.
Church was a prophetic word that I had back in 2004, and it suddenly struck me during the week that God does speak out his purposes a long time. He gives us good warning, and then suddenly, through pain quite often and trials and difficulties, the beautiful thing that God originally intended emerges. And I love that image of the seed being held in hands and providing context, because for me, the major part of leadership is exactly that, is lightly holding something that God has charged us with to let the seed that's been planted grow and to be fruitful. And for me, a good church is where everyone feels they can play their part and be who God's made them to be, not to kind of make them or mould them into something that I want them to be, but what he wants them to be. And that is beautiful. That kind of church. And of course we have an enemy who hates the idea of that, so therefore often you will find leadership that's controlling, you find people that stay in their insecurities. But the heart of God is to restore us, because the church of Jesus Christ is beautiful. And another name for the church is family of God, and God wants us to be a family. And nothing grieves the heart of a pastor more than when it doesn't quite work for someone, or they can't be part of the church any longer, or they move on because somehow they find it difficult to join in or feel accepted or feel part. And of course in our humanity that happens, and we all have our different likes and dislikes in terms of church and emphasis and doctrine and all of that stuff. But if we are an environment that is genuinely family, which is what God wants us to be, doing the works of Jesus in the world today, we will be an attractive people. And there's a kind of bit of a paradox, isn't it? Because in a sense, we dream of being something which, at least in part, if not to quite a large extent, we're beginning to experience and to enjoy. And I remember, what was Robert Fawaya's first name?
Charles.
Charles Fawaya, a guy a few years ago now, was here for a little while. He stood up and said, don't let your dream remain as a dream, let it become a reality. Well, whose hands is that in then, for that dream to be a reality? It's in ours, really, isn't it? God says what he wants to do. Our role is to align ourselves, position ourselves, and start doing it. And the Holy Spirit comes and brings healing and restoration at the same time to enable that to be a reality. And I don't know if you realise this, but the whole of heaven, if you like, and we're interested in the kingdom of heaven and bringing that to earth, but heaven is governed by the Trinity, isn't it? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they live together in perfect relationship. They dwell together, they interact with the earth, but they're in perfect relationship. And there's this prayer, which I love, of Jesus in John 17, where he says this. Jesus says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me. So the world gets to know about Jesus through our unity together, our family dynamic. It's been really exciting in recent weeks. I don't know if you know this, but we have a Facebook page, it's Brookside Church. Lots of interesting, humorous and unusual things appear there from time to time. It's our family message board, if you like. And I know not everyone is on Facebook, and we need to continually discover ways of helping people enjoy much of that communication. It's great to read some of the things that are going on. And we're running an alpha course in our home at the moment, and it's really lovely to hear people talking about the sense of family and the sense of openness. And people writing comments on the Facebook page, I love my Brookside family. And yet I know that for some in the church, you may not have that same kind of sense, because where you're sat, it doesn't quite feel like that. So we all have some work to do under God. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says that God's purpose for the church is to reveal his wisdom, even to principalities and powers. Now that sounds a very grand thing, doesn't it? But I actually think it's a very simple thing. It's demonstrating to an enemy and all of his powers who love division, who love judgment, who love rules and regulations, that actually it isn't like that in the church family, and that we model something different. And by being family, of course, we are engaging in some spiritual warfare, which sounds awfully big and powerful, but we don't need to worry about that because Jesus has saved us and he's shown us a better way. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, verse 10 especially, it says this: Paul commends the church to do good to all people, but especially to the household of faith, the family of God. So what we model and what we enjoy here is there to leak out of us and to move out of us. And, you know, part of the church, I believe, part of our role is this, is to bring this sense of heaven's relational government into the earth, how this works together. And it does work. There's just a few key principles I just want to mention this morning, because what we're planning to do over the next few weeks is look at, again, at stories like the prodigal, and other areas where we can actually firsthand engage with a God, with a Father, who is a Father first and foremost, and that we are his sons and daughters, and that is how it works in God's economy. There are some principles. The family of God needs to be led by leaders who don't control. I mean, what kind of father wants to control his children and make them be exactly what he wants them to be? There's freedom of choice, but he actually brings out the best, and he nourishes it, he nurtures it, he affirms it, and does everything he can to see his children released to be the priest that they are. I really do believe in the priesthood of all believers, don't you? Where we all have a part to play, not just in our gathered church, but in all sorts of other areas as well. The family of God is called to live in grace and not law, not rules, regulations, but restorative relationships, modelling what we are for and not just campaigning for what we're against. What are we for? Evangelicals have spent years campaigning and, you know, just holding on for grim life and speaking out for what we're against instead of actually living out and modelling what we're for. There's a time to speak out, don't misunderstand me, but what are we for? We are not a club that has a set of rules and regulations, are we? We're liberated. We're not living under the law. We can drift back into that if we want to. It's not a very good place to be because we're living in the new covenant. But God wants to release us into his grace more fully as the family of God. And then there's believing truth and experiencing ongoing transformation in our minds, shaped by the truth of who Father God is and how he feels about us, and not shaped by our life experiences. And this is a major area of conflict. Remember a few weeks ago we were looking into Romans about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. That daily process of letting the word of God just permeate our minds and our lives and our hearts so that he's shaping us, and we're not just submitting our lives to be shaped by the events that blur us around. That's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, how many of us in this room, how many people do we know, maybe who have kind of once walked closely with God but kind of backed off because they feel maybe he's let them down? We can afford to be very real and honest with God, but the truth is God is our Father and he loves us and he wants the best for us. whatever life situations come along. The family of God should be experiencing ever-increasing personal security, wholeness, generosity and kindness. Aren't these some of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, where God is at work among us? In the family of God, there should be lots of acceptance, care and hospitality. All you need is love. Doing good in the household of faith, treating others as we'd like to be treated ourselves, being inclusive and resisting exclusivity. One of the original pastors of this church had this quote that has always stayed with me. A cliquey church is a leaky church. That's a challenge, isn't it? In fact, I found a quote this morning. I'm just going to find it and read it to you because I found this quite helpful, quite challenging. It's good when quotes are challenging, isn't it? You don't mind pauses, do you? I think they're good. This is a guy who I've never heard of before, but what he says makes sense, so I'll quote him. Roland Croucher, who's an author, leader and writer from Australia. When people attach themselves to your church group, they ought to quickly feel at home. Your church circles should be semicircles, opening to include new people. There's a little challenge. But here's the rub. Deep down, many church folk are scared of their networks becoming flexible because their security is tied up with the predictability of those relationships. In church after church, I ask the leaders, is yours a friendly church? To which they mostly answer, yes. Then I ask, name the adults who have joined your church through conversion in, say, the last 8 years. Many churches have great difficulty in naming them. And when I talk to people who tried to break into an established fellowship, they say, they were nice to me for the first few Sundays, but I didn't seem to get invited into any of their homes. They didn't give me the cold shoulder. I just knew I wasn't welcome. Why is this? Deep down, we are fearful of new people upsetting the chemistry of the group that satisfies our needs. So we preserve the group intact at all costs, even if we don't realise we are excluding others. That's what happens, isn't it? We get into a good group and we don't want it spoiled by other people having the experience that we have. We have got to break through into the security that God has for us individually so that we can all be given to hospitality and care, right? This is the family of God. And I want to say to anyone here who's been bruised or wounded in any way by being part of Brookside Church, sorry. As much as it depends on me. Sorry that that has been your experience. And then I'd also go on to say, what are you going to do about changing the culture? Because this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a family culture within Brookside Church. Now, sometimes our immediate reaction is, well, I'm, you know, a quite introverted person. I struggle to make new relationships. You know, the way we deal with that is asking the Holy Spirit to empower us to lay someone on our hearts and just invite them around for a meal. It's no big shakes. Just to show that kind of love. Now, this is not in any way this morning a condemning message, right? This is just saying, this is what can be. And I just think when guys write quotes like that, there's something of substance in there, isn't there? Can you imagine groups with a semicircle that's open to welcoming new people so that they too can have the experience that we have? That's really important. The family of God, where there's lots of fun, faith and reality, and stacks of perseverance. Do you like having fun in church? I think it's great. I think it's great there's a bit of laughter breaking out as we were. You know, this is not kind of religious intensity. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is intense among us, but don't misunderstand that for kind of religious form. It's about life and fun, and sometimes tears. All the things that were up there on the dream a little bit earlier. Church family is about engaging in the big picture across the city. And that's a tough one as well, sometimes. Generosity in attitude and action. The church family, massive in thanksgiving, celebration, praise, worship and stories of God's goodness. Some beautiful songs this morning, Colin and the team. Just being in the presence of God together. It doesn't get more intimate than that, does it? And of course, even in that, we all have our preferences and our likes and dislikes, and we all, well, maybe sometimes we trot home from church saying, that was a good meeting, that wasn't so good. What rubbish. What constitutes a good meeting? Only God can answer that one, I can tell you. He's probably been bored with thousands of them. Sometimes I think, I'm so glad I'm not God. The family of God, fully utilising the gifts of the Holy Spirit to encourage and to build one another up. Not just in a formal setting like this, but in all sorts of wonderful ways outside of the church family. Writing to one another, encouraging one another, reaching out to God for one another with a prophetic word or insight or encouragement. That's the family of God. And having a long-haul mentality rather than demanding immediate success. It suddenly dawned on me again the other day, really, that I've been involved in church leadership for quite a long time now. And there are kind of peaks and troughs, isn't there, in life. And I hate to say it, really, because when you talk about peaking, you kind of think, well, in a few months' time, we might be back down in the trough again. But actually, I think this, really, that if one of the reasons we're looking at these kingdom values, these kingdom cultures, if you've got the values, if you've got the principles that the Bible talks about well embedded in church life, you've then got a greater opportunity as the Holy Spirit moves and blows on different things and brings revival, brings amazing things. Those things are far more sustainable when you've got a culture that's used to them and able to deal with them. And you know, every generation has to discover, doesn't it, fresh vision from God. Now, whoever ends up leading this church in the future will have to discover what it is he wants them to be doing. But I trust that what we as a family are laying today and securing are some of these key values that will last us for a long, long time. As long as God wants us to be here. That's the heart of God. So, church is family, and that's just really a little introductory flavour. And what I want to do now, because it's just to pause, and if you've been part of the church for however long and you want to just very briefly mention your kind of experiences, then you're very free to do that. Any other observations or insights into the church's family? You've got 5 minutes or so just to kind of interact on this a little bit. Any thoughts running around your head as I've been speaking? Anything provoked by seeing the dream of the church that you're part of? Anything you feel challenged that we could do a bit better? It's your church. Describe it. I will. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone got any doubt that the kingdom of God is relational? Lynn.
Just an encouragement, really. I've been part of Brookside for about 20 years now. My dad's only ever stepped foot in this building on two occasions, one for the rehearsal for our wedding and one for the actual wedding. And if you asked him what he thinks of Christians, he probably would say quite a lot of what we said at the beginning. But one thing that he has really picked up is the community that we have here. And he speaks about that to other people. You know, he's kind of spreading the word for us. So it obviously does speak to other people.
Thanks, Lynn.
I just occasionally have to explain to people that I live entirely the wrong side of the town. I have done for 13 years or more, and I still get two trains of walk a mile to get here every Sunday. Just because it's where I'm supposed to be. And I keep every now and then I ask God, should I be going somewhere nearer or somewhere more convenient? And I just don't get the feeling I should, because I love the family here. The freedom in worship is fantastic. Just the sense of God's presence, particularly at the beginning of the service, particularly if you're in the worship band and you're trying to pray and get ready at 10:15. And there's a lot of noise going on. And it used to frustrate me slightly. And then suddenly I just realised, no, that's just the heart of God.
Maybe you need to move house. No, actually, what you guys are saying is similar for me when we had the service for Chris back in November. And, you know, the sort of like about 100 people turn up here, most of whom had never been inside, well, this church, but a lot hadn't been inside any church. But just the way that the family of this church just kind of came out of the woodwork surreptitiously, providing, you know, a sort of love, worship, food, care, just preparing things, tidying up afterwards, and just were so warm and welcoming. People couldn't get over that. They found it absolutely amazing what they walked into, and so did, you know, I am. And our family as well. And it's just, it's kind of, you can't quite measure what it is that family brings. It's more than words.
Well, this side of the room's got a lot to say, haven't they? Can I just say this too, that just think about this. A person's experience of Brookside Church might be completely to do with the experience they have with you as an individual. Someone might come here to our meeting on a Sunday, which I accept is only a part of church life. Oh, by the way, James is sat at the back. He's done really well in his exams. He's got a first, so... well done, James. Sorry to embarrass you. Just spotted you again. But you did do well. I was just saying, yeah, a person's experience of the church might be just the experience they had of you. And just think about that. If you're at a moment where you're feeling frustrated or you're in a hurry or whatever it happens to be, that may be the one encounter they have with the church family is of you. And, of course, I might get the phone call in the week from that person saying, I had a really terrible experience in your church this week. You know, people do have bad experiences as well. We don't do it perfectly, do we? But...
I just want to mention the Good Friday treasure trail. I've worked on my family to try and get them to come, and even on the Good Friday morning, I hadn't heard from them, and I just thought, oh well, okay, that's another no. But then suddenly I got a phone call and said, yeah, what's that you asked us to? And my son is only... He rejected God at a very young age, and I've had a really hard job since, but as a result of the Good Friday, I think I've only been to church on about two occasions, but I'm on to my last funeral. But just somehow coming into the building, they actually came into the building, and it's just, I've noticed a change for the better. Long way to go.
That's in God's hands, isn't it? If we can do our part to giving people an experience of the family of God together, then that's great. Good. Didn't hear that bit. They've noticed a difference in Joyce too. So our lives being transformed is pretty important, isn't it, in terms of people's experiences. Good. Well, it's 12:10 and... it's been great, isn't it? And Father, we thank you that you've put us together as family, and there's some of us not here today, so I pray that all of this will spill over to them as well. And again, I pray for those who've had a difficult experience, those who felt wounded or rejected by experiences here, that they will bounce back and know healing and restoration, and they will be able to model something better. Father, we celebrate what we have got together. We thank you that today we've been able to celebrate with James and with Nigel and Pat. And Lord, there are these life events that we love to celebrate together. And I pray you'd help us to do that even better in the years ahead. And we do pray that as people encounter us as a church, they will encounter you, Lord Jesus. They will encounter you, Holy Spirit. They will encounter a Father in heaven who so loves them, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that we'll be able to take down any obstacles we have that people have to overcome, and that people will come face to face with Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. In your name, Lord. Amen. Okay, we're going to have some refreshments, I think, at the back. So.